Welcome back to The Language of Behavior. My name is Joshua Stamper. I'm with the wonderful and talented Charlie Peck as we are back together once again after I just got back from a beautiful event, the Vibe EDU event with Kim Gamrose, as I had a wonderful opportunity to be in sunny California, but it wasn't the same because I didn't have my wonderful co-author and co-host Charlie Peck with me in California.
Yeah. You know what though? I saw all those pictures and I saw how much fun you were having with those guys and just how neat it was to be together in person and then answering the questions to the audience. Like, what a great experience you must have had.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Well, so you know both of our friend, Mitch Weathers. He's amazing and he is based in California. He's got Organized Binder and been friends with him for many, many years. In fact, we were talking about it. I don't remember when I met him. It's been that long, but we've never seen each other in person. So it was great to not only meet him, but then also, and I say meet him loosely because I know him very well, but we also were on a panel discussion together as he was talking more on executive functioning. I was talking more on our book, The Language of Behavior, and it was so much fun. And it was a different format too. It was a different event as a whole, very different than anything I've been a part of. And yeah, it was just so much fun to see it in person, see kind of the community that Kim Gamrose has created, and was honored to be a part of that event and specifically with Mitch. One of our questions that I got, we're going to use today from a participant there during our Q&A session. It was a panel interview and, you know, they took questions from the crowd. And I thought this was interesting just because, Charlie, I think it's great as a educator, but also a parent perspective. So before I get into that, though, I know there's a lot going on. And tomorrow, actually, when this is releasing, I get to do a keynote for a local BOCES, a bunch of educators in special education. So I'm super excited about that as we're going to be talking, of course, about the language of behavior and doing a real deep dive with them. I'm going to have a 3-hour session with them just to kick the school year off. What about you? What's going on in your world, Charlie?
Yeah, there's so many changes, so many things coming up. I mean, I'm going to Alabama to do a keynote. I can't wait for that. I'm going to Oregon. There's just, you know, there's a lot of people reaching out to me now because they weren't sure what they could do a month ago. But now it's kind of like the floodgates are open and people are like calling because now they know what they can do with their funding now. So yeah. That's been different because there's a lot of last minute people reaching out, which I'm not used to at all. You know, I mean, if you're in this business, you're booked out a few months in advance. So this is just different.
Then they call, can you be here in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't think so. But it's great because it shows that people know that they need this work. They need the support. And now they're thinking about their behavior planning. They're thinking about how do I support the mental health of the staff, of students, and how do we do this as a community? So I love that they're still thinking about that. That's, you know, it's just nice to hear about it.
For sure. Yeah. And we've seen growth, not only in this podcast, but also with book sales as people are preparing for the school year. I know, Charlie, you get the notifications all the time for the free study kit that has been created for everyone to download and use with their staff. So make sure that, you know, as you're looking for a resource to kick off the school year, that you grab a copy of that. And then we're going to have an announcement that you've created for a Thriving Educator membership. So I'm super excited to learn more about what you've created here. And then if you're ready, we can jump into this question from the Vibe EDU event.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this was a really cool person. I got to meet her afterwards too. And we had a great conversation, just parent to parent, but obviously she's an educator, she's a teacher, but she's got a student that is going into the secondary world first time. So she was saying as a parent of a neurodivergent student, she was wondering, should I reach out to the teachers about her student, about her kid, some of the behaviors that they might see, and then just also about them as a person, you know, what are their interests, what they'd like to do, you know, things like that. And I obviously was handed the microphone and I answered on the spot in this Q&A panel discussion. But I was like, man, I want to take this back to Charlie because I know you have a lot of different perspectives on this too. So if this question was asked to you like it is right now, you know, what are some of the things that come to mind and how would you answer this question for this parent?
I know as a parent what that's like, worrying about that label, worrying about how my kid will be judged. So I get it. So from that perspective, I felt her, you know, hesitation there. And I also, from the teacher perspective, I'm like, you know, I would love to have that information. I am going to do a better job. I mean, I have 30 kids in front of me and trying to get to know each one of them is really tough. It takes a long time. So if I know at the beginning, if that parent is communicating with me, it's way better for that kid. And I appreciate it. But it is hard to break that barrier because there is stigma. That's the number one reason, at least in Kentucky, why people, especially kids, aren't getting help with mental health, or even when they're struggling with neurodivergence, that they aren't getting the help because of the stigma around it. So in the short answer here, yeah, go ahead, share that information, and the sooner the better. And there is actually evidence behind it, Josh. So think about it like this. If we're trauma-informed and there's a term called like neurodiversity affirming, it's a practice that's important. Some people know about it, some people don't. But really what happens is student success and that mental health and well-being of our students and our kids, the kids do better when there's a strong parent-teacher partnership. That partnership is so important. But there's a lot of animosity among teachers and parents. There's a history there. People get upset. There's a lot of polarization going on socially, politically. And so we've got to come together and partner because it's better for our kids. So I'll just kind of start there. But I am so curious, like, how did you handle that?
Well, I was in the same boat with you, Charlie. I've had this multiple times. And, you know, I think we cut it from the book. But if you remember, I had a story where I wrote out an experience of two parents that went into an ARD meeting. And by the end, they were so disheartened and distraught over what was being said about their kid. And eventually they took the student out of school due to frustration and knowing that the services weren't going to be provided for the kid. And the flip of the story was, it was me and my wife, right? And that was a story of us. And I've lived it on both sides of having a beautiful relationship with a teacher that obviously loves and cares for my kid and without labels and is providing everything possible, both on an emotional level and on an academic level. And then I've had others that just want to ignore some of the signs of what's getting in the way of the student to be successful and having to advocate. And that's why I said to this person is like, the strongest advocate for your kid is you. You know them better than anyone else. And what was funny was, as I was answering the question, one of the teachers turned around and was like, send a letter, send a one pager. If you did that for me as a teacher, I would buy you coffee or dinner, because it would be so helpful. As like you said, being in charge of 34 kids in a class, it's so hard to get to know them. And sometimes it takes a month, 2 months, 3 months to truly get an understanding of what's going on with that student. And sometimes, you know, there's a honeymoon period and maybe those behaviors don't show up for a little while. And then all of a sudden you start to see things and you see, okay, I need to identify what's behind the behavior. And if you can get that from a parent, and maybe it's a trigger, maybe it's a sensory issue, there's a long list of things that could be attributing to the behavior. Well, obviously the teacher is going to be very thankful for that information, because that's only going to help them and save them time and save them work to do the discovery piece. And so I know as an administrator, I always tell my teachers, reach out right away about the students, positive, negative. Like, obviously I'd rather you do it on a positive note, especially at the beginning of the school year, but you want to make contact with your students' parents, because it's that tripod, right? The triangle is so strong because you've got the admin, you got the teachers and the parents all working together as one unit. And I told her, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, you can't do this alone. And so you got to include that teacher in that village to make sure that she's prepared for what's coming in regards to your student and or what might occur and what has happened prior, not to sway or to create a judgment prior to that student coming into the classroom. But just as a FYI, you know, I think this would be valuable for you and your educational environment and the success of my student if you knew this. So kind of having that lens and not being a helicopter parent, but just an advocate for your kid.
And I think that's what some people are worried about. They're worried that if they do make that communication with the teacher, I've even done this as a parent to my kids' teachers. If I get in there early, I don't want to be looked at like that parent who is just trying to teach them how to do their job better or trying to like just always be in there. Like, that bothered me too. So there is a fine line. And I do kind of hear that in the back of my head when I'm thinking of parents who want to get in there and start advocating for their kids, but then not being overbearing. It's a real thing. It's a real problem. But I also like to say, like, let's just look at that insecurity, see where that comes from. How have you been taught that? Where did that come from? Because you're right. We are our kids' biggest advocates, but we also have to navigate a system where there are already people in the system who are overwhelmed, frustrated, burned out, already have a history with problem parents. And so we don't want to get that reputation ourselves, especially when we don't know that teacher yet. But I will say too, so you and I always talk about getting preventative. And the best way to do this is before those behaviors show up, because they probably will. These are kids. Something might bother them in the environment. You know, that just makes total sense. We know traditional education is not set up for the neurodivergent kid. No way. And so, of course, those kids are going to show up with behaviors more often, typically. I don't have a number about that, but I do have a number that about 1 in 5 kids in our traditional education classrooms, our public education systems, are neurodivergent. So let's think about that number for a second. And so if we're still trying to teach the old way that wasn't working and supporting kids before, but they adapted now, when they're trying to adapt, those behaviors look bigger. They look burdensome to others. They look bothersome to others. And so we just have to be cautious about that. So here's what I always say, like, let's go into it knowing what you're going to do. Let's have a little bit of a plan. So here's what you would share. First of all, when we said putting it on paper, to me, like as the therapist, I'm like, oh my gosh, be careful. What if somebody sees it? And so I'm looking at confidentiality there, of course. So of course there needs to be caution, but I get the idea. I mean, that's great. It's like, here's my one sheet of my kid. Here's what I would share with them. I would say, what are their strengths? Tell them what the strengths are. Always start from strengths. What is this kid good at? So their teacher can call that out, can start from the strength so that we can build that up and build that safety and connection. And then the other thing is, like, what is it that might stress this kid out? What about that physical environment that, remember, you and I talk about all the time, the environment inventory and the relationship inventory. So what are those stressors? What about transition time? What do they need in order to know that that transition is going to occur? Maybe there's a phrase that they need to be, you know, prepped for, something like that, like a 2-minute warning's coming up, something like that. And what is making this kid successful? And when I say kid, this is also a teen. And we can do this for our 17-year-old kids who are coming into your classroom too. So I know that's a lot. What else would you say, Josh?
Well, I think just working through the behaviors and the solutions with the team, you know, of folks. I'm thinking of, you know, one of my sons, he's autistic. And so in middle school, you have to transition class to class. And so he didn't want to go down the stairs when anyone else was, because it was so chaotic and it was just a herd of people. And so he would wait for the crowd to go away, and then he would go down the stairs and go to his class. Well, obviously he's taking too much time in the hallways, which would then result into a tardy. And so seeing that on the back end of all these tardies and asking him questions, I wasn't really getting the answer. And so I got with the teachers and my child, and I was like, hey, like, let's find a solution for this. And so we, as a team, discussed it and found, like, hey, what if he just left like 30 seconds before the bell rang? Typically kids are cleaning up their stuff anyways, you know, he's real good about that. So if he's cleaned up, just allowing him to go just a little bit beforehand, just to get a head start and to figure a way to get to class on time. And it started working. And then as he got comfortable and used to that environment, well, then that support wasn't needed anymore. And then he was getting on time just with the crowd of people, right? And so I think allowing the parent into that conversation and being a part of the solution, it made me feel great. You know, I felt like I was, one, advocating for my kid, but two, you know, it was a solution that we all agreed upon. We all figured out on our own. And then also the student found success in that. So, you know, I think there's opportunities where parents feel like an outsider, and sometimes the teachers also feel like it's a me versus them situation. And I think if there's a way that you can communicate and pull them into the conversation, I think that helps with ownership. And then also feeling like you're getting supported versus it's like, oh, I have to call the school again. Here we go. Like, this is going to be a negative interaction. And if you can make it a positive, and that's, I think, as I was talking about, like being an admin, trying to work with my teachers, is like, unfortunately, there's like this negative cloud when it comes to parents, and I don't want to reach out to them. I don't want to make the phone call, I'll make the easy email real quick and, you know, just send it off, so I don't have to make that contact. And I always try to push back on that and say, no, like, this is something where it needs to be a partnership and everyone needs to feel it. Everyone needs to feel good about the situation and the conversation, which requires time, I know, but it also is a better product on the back end of things.
Yeah. It's that investment of time on the front end that truly does make that difference later. And I always say too, when we are equipped with the skills, we become confident in making those phone calls. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do you do if the parent says this? What do you do if the parent says that or pushes back? And there are some basic things that we can do where we are equipped to deal with that. And so it's just really about acceptance and about thinking, you know, I can do this. But I also think leaders need to give some time and space to learn some of those skills, mm-hmm. and talk about that. How do I approach the parent who is standoffish? how do I approach the parent who was really tricky last year in my kid's third grade class? Now I'm their fourth grade teacher. I'm already apprehensive about that. So sure. It's about having those honest conversations, but having a plan. I think that's a good idea. And the other thing is when that kid is in the classroom, I always say, let's not call that kid out. If we know that kid, you know, we all know that kid who has, I hate saying behavior issues, but let's just call it what it is that we will talk about. You know, if there's some kind of distraction that they're doing to other kids or whatever, but just know that so many other kids will benefit from the strategy that you do. So that's why I always talk about rapid resets, change the energy of the classroom. If you know that it's kind of low, then shift it, do that finger thumb switch, right? Or the thumb drum. And there's so many things I do in my talk. But also if that energy level, if you notice that it's starting to go up, think of your classroom as a whole bunch of nervous systems. How are we going to calm that? What kind of calming currents are we going to keep in that classroom so that we can prevent that from happening? So we've got to just notice. But something so simple, Josh, can happen. Like one of my kids, when they were in second grade, they're like just moving, right? And so he was bothering other kids. So I was trying to let the teacher do what they needed to do. But eventually I said, listen, just put one of those bands around his chair that he usually does very well with that. So when I had the courage to actually say that out loud, it was an immediate change. Immediate. He started focusing more and all of that. So it can be something very small, but you're right. We've got to all have a little bit more courage to communicate better with each other and be kind in that communication and just trying to solve the darn problem.
For sure. And having positive intent and like thinking through that, like not all parent interactions are negative. I know we have all had a really bad experience with one parent or more, unfortunately. And then for my leaders, of course, like support your teachers on that. If you need to be in the room during the conversation or in the meeting, like make sure you're there for them, especially if it gets to an extremely negative level. But yeah, I think if we have positive intent, at least at the beginning of the school year, as we're preparing for the new year, I think, you know, maybe start preparing it as far as your action plan of like how you're going to have that parent communication to make sure that you are making sure that it's a positive first piece of communication, setting your school year up for success.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Should we do behind the banter real quick?
Do it.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
All right. I got a good one for you. All right. I saw on social media that you were going to a live music event. So that's what's spawning this question. So if you could go to any concert right now, today, if you could, who would it be?
That is so easy. Anybody who knows me knows that I would say Bon Jovi, but let me just say this. It has to have
it right now. I would
listen, you know, this already, but if Richie Sambora has to be there, you all, Richie Sambora has to be there. So it's gotta be John and Richie.
Okay.
What about you, Josh? I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
I'm going to actually change it on you. I know you think I was going to say, but I've seen them quite a few times in concerts. So the one I haven't seen in concert, and for anyone that knows me in past episodes, maybe I've even referenced to 90s alternative is like my go-to. I've never seen the Foo Fighters. And I was talking this to my daughter is trying to get me to go see Linkin Park with her in Denver. And that would also be a wonderful concert. But I was like, I really want to go see the Foo Fighters. I don't know why, but I've never seen them in concert before.
Very cool.
Unfortunately, the drummer passed like 2 years ago. So that would have been awesome to see him too. But this is hard because I could rattle off 20 people, 20 bands easily I would like to go see. But
I know.
I think that's number one list.
That's good. That's good to know. And I really do wish I would have gotten to see Prince and Michael Jackson. I really wish I could have seen them live.
Right.
Missed out.
I know. Those would have been phenomenal. Prince being from Minnesota. So shout out. And then Rage Against the Machine too would have been great, but they're no longer a band. I would have loved to go see them. That would have been awesome.
I saw a Rage Against the Machine cover band years ago. Oh my gosh, I didn't know who they were at the time. And it was amazing. It was so much fun.
Charlie was thinking I was going to say Smash Pumpkins because they're my favorite.
It's your favorite.
Yeah. And I would see them today too. No fair. I'm not going to say any more bands, but I thought that'd be fun to talk about our love of music at the MTSS conference. We had Bon Jovi playing for everyone that was coming into our joint session. Right. Got him in the mood. All right. So let's talk about your Thriving Educator membership real quick. So will you share out just a little bit about that?
Yes. It's been evolving, but I really need to just support teachers, darn it. They need support. and it's going to be so very affordable. You just wait. So we're going to have our virtual summit in September. We're getting everything prepared so we can launch it right after that, so we can start receiving people into it. And we're going to keep it so super simple. So people want the toolkit that we have, the Thriving Educator Toolkit, all those tools and strategies that you hear in my talk and that we share here. It's all packaged in a toolkit just to hand over so that you can truly thrive in the classroom and also thrive in your building. It's adaptable. But I want teachers to have that additional support. So the membership gives them access to all of that. But also I'm going to show up live and just answer questions. Like, keep it super simple and personalize the support. So if they have questions, they can just ask me so we can do this, you know, but very, very chill, but also I want to help them out. So that's going to be coming up right after our virtual summit. And let's talk about the virtual summit, Josh.
Yeah, September 16th and 17th is a 2-day event, and it's going to be phenomenal because we have so many folks that we love and adore that are going to be there speaking on a lot of different topics. But obviously, it's the School Behavior Solutions Summit, and it's called that for a reason. So, you know, if you're looking for similar information to what this podcast provides, it's a free event. Like I said, September 16th and 17th. Charlie, what else would you like to talk about in regards to this awesome event?
Well, first of all, it's free, you guys. It's free. And we have the top industry experts showing up here. That's why we added an extra day. Last year, we had a ton of people, ton of registrants, all over the world. And so more are going to show up. And so we're like, well, we've got to support them. We've got to get them tools and strategies. But we decided to keep it super simple because these people we're inviting, you guys, they're busy. So we're going to interview them. And we thought it'd be really intimate and personal to just interview them anyway and dive very deeply into what they can do for you who shows up to that summit. Immediately, it's got to be tools that you can just immediately start using and see results. So that's what we're doing for you guys. I cannot wait. That's going to be so much fun.
Yep. So the summit registration for those who are watching on YouTube is on the screen right now, but of course we'll have that in the show notes for you. I'm guessing too, is it on your website, Charlie?
It is. If you go to thrivingeducator.org, right at the very top, you just click on register for the free summit.
Awesome. All right. So we'll have, obviously, Charlie's website is in the show notes every single time. You need to make sure that you're heading over there, not only for this free summit, but also for all of the fantastic resources that she has available to you. Otherwise, you can head over to joshchamber.com/language of behavior. Very similar concept as far as newsletters, free resources, our podcasts. I mean, we have all of these things covered on both of our websites. So if you're looking for more information, if you need more support, if you want to reach out to either one of us, make sure that you do that. We'd love to make sure that we're helping in any way possible. Of course, I'll make sure that the book study kit that I was talking about before is also in the show notes for you, because this is free for you to work through the Language of Behavior book with a small group, with your staff, with your district. So please make sure that you grab that as soon as possible. And then of course, if you have a question for us, you can either reach out through our websites or you can go to bit.ly. It's bit.ly/LOB questions. And so a lot of times we grab questions from our events that we're at. I'm hoping to do so at the Colorado Springs BOCES here tomorrow, or from you, the listeners, and just grabbing them from the bit.ly here. So the quick form, and you can put your name on there or you can make it anonymous. Totally up to you. We want to make sure that we're supporting you where you are on your campus, in your district. And yeah, with that, Charlie, is there any closing words for this episode?
Yeah, you know what? When you're going to reach out to parents, just remember to validate their concern and lead with empathy. Use that empathetic listening we talk about and just validate what's going on for them. They really just want their kid to have a good experience. So if we can just do a little bit more of them, you will soften their approach to you and you'll soften your approach to them. And it could be just more peaceful.
Yeah, we need more peace in this world. So if you are loving the podcast, make sure you're sharing out to other people. Charlie, I saw we have 4 now, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. So keep those coming. If you love the show, we'd love to hear from you and appreciate that feedback. And with that, we'll see you again next week. So thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.